just like most of us, police want people to understand their perspective. And if they see a problem, they want to be part of the solution. Sometimes that involves leaving the force and looking at policing from the outside. As part of our series, Elevated Risk, Police Violence in the Mountain West, our bureau's Madeline Beck talked with some of those former officers to get their insights.
Until recently, Logan Daly was a deputy sheriff in rural Cherry County, Nebraska. Today, he's the managing editor and reporter for 5 publications based in Wyoming.
I would say both are noble professions. I mean, they're both, in my opinion, very important professions.
Daly loves his new job, but he says the media can poison how the public sees the police, even in rural areas. He remembers one experience he had as a cop.
There was a young man that lived in one of the towns where I used to patrol through, and I drove through one day, and he put his hands up, and I kind of chuckled, and I was like, what the heck? And so I stop and I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, hands up, don't shoot. And this is like an 8-year-old. And so I ask him, I'm like, well, why are you doing that? He goes, well, I saw it on YouTube. And I was like, what did you see on YouTube? Well, cops kill people.
Daly was angry and upset. He hopes in his new role, he can foster better communication between the police, the media, and ultimately the community. He's finding some departments are more willing to talk than others, though. As a former police officer, he knows transparency can be tricky. He says officers are trained to protect people's privacy.
I don't want to break that trust, basically, that the public has in us.
And also, he says if they are seen as breaking that trust,
you're constantly concerned about being sued. Because, I mean, this is America. You can sue anybody for anything.
He says more training could help with that, letting police chiefs and officers know what they can and can't say under the law. But it's not just about transparency. He recognizes that there are bad apples, and they're not always dealt with.
I've encountered that, and I'm not saying this officer was going out and killing people. It was nothing like that. But he was overstepping his bounds. I would bring it up and say, hey, this is the issues, here's what I have, and then nothing would happen.
This focus on bad apples is misguided when we look at how to really improve the profession.
That's Paul Taylor. He's a former officer and officer trainer who now spends his time trying to figure out ways to make policing safer for both citizens and officers.
The current approach to how we look at, say, bad outcomes in policing really lends itself towards a liability focus for police organizations.
In other words, if something bad happens, it starts a criminal investigation. Officers involved don't say exactly what happened, fearing prosecution. Case details are sometimes sealed off.
That focus stunts the growth of the profession and really the ability to learn.
His research at the University of Colorado Denver includes how to minimize accidental shootings. He says that kind of research into policing is needed right now and isn't getting enough attention.
I call it the profession that science has left behind, because in a lot of areas, whether that be from the management perspective to how we look at improving outcomes, we're really stuck in this Tayloristic mindset that if we just tell people to do better, they will.
He says we need to analyze incidents of police violence the way we look at emergency room deaths or plane crashes.
There's 1,000 reasons a plane might crash. If we're only looking at the actions of the pilot and whether or not they were criminal, we would miss why the event occurred most of the time.
He says that system wouldn't just pin acts on individuals, but instead make it the responsibility of the entire profession to figure out how to avoid accidents or abuses of power in the future. Former cop and police psychologist Jack Digliani would add looking at the mental health of cops involved as well. He wants cops to ask for help before
their work product would degrade to the point where, they become dangerous to themselves, others, or their work product is so bad that they begin to encounter discipline.
Digliani says police officers face significant stress in their work, and there's a fallacy that asking for help is a sign of weakness. To counteract this, he's set up an entire 12-step initiative. It's being used by police officers around the nation to encourage every officer to monitor their mental well-being and to seek help if they need it. but he says there's still not enough focus on mental health.
Yes, we still, in fact, have not only a long way to go in departments that implement these programs, we also have many departments that have no support programs at all, if you can believe that, in the 21st century. But that is, in fact, the case.
He just says all officers should have a place to go, a person to talk to, and resources. Because he says policing will stick around in one form or another in any society without complete anarchy. So we need to figure out how to help officers help us. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.